All of God's children said? Amen. Amen. Did we finish Ezra chapter whatever? Did we finish the book of Ezra last Wednesday night? Y'all say yes? Yeah, we did. We did. all right. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but I enjoyed the book of Ezra. Man, I really enjoyed that. And I don't know. I'm just having to pray about what Wednesday night study that we'll do next. I'm considering two things. One, I'm considering the book of Genesis to teach through the book of Genesis. Now, that's going to be a two-year project if I do, I'm pretty sure. If I do it just on Wednesday nights, that's going to take a while. Do I? Yeah, well, I could just about, but no, I'm not going to do that. But the book of Genesis is 50 chapters. 50 chapters. If I did, if I covered one chapter every 2 weeks, that'll take, a rather long time. I have preached from the book of Leviticus, but not, a whole lot. Brother Keith told me something. I thought Brother Keith was sane until yesterday. We were talking about Old Testament books. And of course, most people know that I preach from the Old Testament more than any other preacher you've ever had. And I can just tell you, I know that without even asking you. But I have preached through the book of Joshua. I preached through the book of Judges. I preached 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And I preached through all of that since Esther and Ezra. I have actually, since I've been here, I actually preached through the minor prophets, all of the minor prophets. So, I've preached a lot from the Old Testament. And when I mentioned book of Joshua, he said, "That's hard to read." And I said, "Really?" And he said, I found it hard to read. He said, "In fact, I found it harder to read the Joshua than the book of Numbers." And I said, "Really?" So I'm saying, "No, something wrong, Keith." But tonight I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm considering the book of Genesis. How long has it been since I taught through the book of Revelation? Anybody got that written in your Bible? Has it been about, is that all it's been? All right. If someone finds that, look it up, okay? I don't really look forward to teaching the book of Revelation, but I think it's very pertinent today. And then the fact that there's not a lot of people really telling the truth. They sensationalize the book instead of just sharing with you what it's really about. But I'm leaning toward the book of Genesis, okay? Y'all just pray about that. But tonight, I've got a purpose for tonight. Tonight's a specific, special night. I have been preaching through the Gospel of John, right? I don't know how many weeks, but several weeks now. In fact, I've been in the third chapter of John for probably a month, but then chapter 1 and chapter 2 and now chapter 3. And John said, "I have written these things so that you might believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God." John's gospel was written by the Holy Spirit so people would hear what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that those who hear might believe. John wrote the book of John so people would be saved. And I've been preaching my heart out in the most gospel-rich book that I know of, and not one person has been converted yet. That breaks my heart. But I know that it's not with enticing words. It's not my skill. It's not my wisdom. It's not my preaching that converts, right? It's the power of the Spirit of God. We know, according to the Word of God in John chapter 3, that the wind blows where it wills, and we hear the sound thereof, and we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone aboard his fish. So what we know is that the Holy Spirit of God can do what he wills, right? The Word of God is being presented clearly. The gospel is being presented clearly. How to be saved is being presented clearly. What is missing is the power of God. That's what's missing. And I am getting desperate, which I think we all ought to be all the time. Instead of getting there, we should be there. But I am more and more desperate to see God, to experience God in our worship. Now, I think God's here. I think God is blessing. But I don't think we're seeing what God will show us. I'm trying to think who it was I was reading. I think J.I. Packer. J.I. Packer says when Christians get together, they can talk about the church and they can talk about work and they can talk about neat things that are godly things and church things. But when the people of God get together, rarely do they talk about experiencing God. About encountering God, about an experience that God was here and God did this. And so I'm just saying to the church family, if we want to see people get saved at the preaching of the Word of God and the gospel, we've got to get serious about wanting God here, okay? Wanting to experience God. And so I've been praying, and I'll share some more after. I'm going to read some verses we'll talk about. Then I'll share with you a little bit about my heart as the reason. But anyhow, Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. And I want to read these verses to you before I share with you what's on my heart, because I don't want you to think that I am trying to get you to know where I am spiritually or what I'm doing spiritually. In other words, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing to be seen of men. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Are y'all with me? Gary, are you going to be able to get it up? Yeah, you do get it up there, right? It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. Now, I'm going to tell you, anytime I've ever fasted, I probably had on a gloomy face, but it wasn't because I put it on. It was because... Physically, it affects me. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, but for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Whatever they do to impress someone, whatever they do to be noticed by someone, then... They're fasting, God said, that's all you're going to get out of it. Yeah, they noticed you. Yeah, they know you fasted. Yeah, they know you're putting yourself through this. That's all you're going to get out of it. He says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, comb your hair, wash your face, do what you can do to cover up the fact you're fasting. Don't deliberately try to show the fact you're fasting, okay? So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, there's a few things I want you to understand in this passage. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do you see a promise? If you fast for the right reason, not to be noticed, not to impress, but if you fast for the right reason, it's going to pay off. Does it say how it'll pay off? It doesn't, does it? It just says it will pay off. Fasting for the right reason pays off. In other words, it's probably a wise thing to do. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Do y'all remember Esther, the book of Esther, when I taught through the book of Esther? I did that on Wednesday night, right? This is my Wednesday night crowd. Some of you came. All right? So when I taught through the book of Esther, Esther told Mordecai to tell all of the Jews to fast and pray for her, right? Y'all shake your head this way, because she did. She said, Mordecai, tell all the Jews, all of them, to fast and pray for me. Was that secret? Y'all shake your head this way. When you tell everybody to fast, nobody's fasting in secret, right? So the secrecy of the fast is not what's important. What's important is why you do it. Are you with me now? For instance, if you're fasting and your wife has fixed a really fancy dinner for you and you didn't tell her in advance, you probably should have told her in advance. Or you might ought to postpone your fast for another meal. So it's not wrong for people to know you're fasting. What's wrong is when you fast so you can tell people you're fasting so that they'll say, wow, look at, you know, they're fasting. But aren't they spiritual? That's the problem. Now, most of the time when you fast, and it may be a half a day fast, or it may be a day fast, or it may be whatever it is, and it may be fasting from food, or it may be fasting for something else that is really legitimate, and it's really good, and you really love it, but you're not going to do that for a period of time, that is a legitimate spiritual fast, or can be, as well as fasting from food. For instance, some people that their physical health may be harmed if they fast with food. So you may need to fast from something else. Something that is legitimate, that's honest, that's not bad. You know, you can't fast from something that's bad. Okay, you can fast because you're having trouble with something bad. But when you don't do something that's already bad, that's not a fast. Fasting is when there's something you participate in regularly and you love and it's good, and yet, okay, I'm not going to do that. You could fast from golfing, for instance, okay? You could. I'm not telling you do, but I'm telling you could. You could fast from fishing. If you regularly fish, if you love to fish, if it's very important for you to fish, and yet for a period of time, you're wanting to say, God, you're more important to me than fishing. God, I treasure you way more than fishing. And God, I am expressing to you how serious I am. See, fasting is an expression. That's what it is. It's a way of expressing to God how desperately you want God. All right? So it's not secrecy, and I tell you that to tell you I was wanting to fast, okay? I was wanting to fast. I was wanting to fast for spiritual reasons. I was wanting to fast because I want to see God do more than he's doing in our church. I want to see when I preach a sermon about how to be born again, I want to see people being born again. And I know that it's not sermons, and I know it's not our power. I know it's not our ability. I know it's not our ability to persuade men. I know it's when the power of the Holy Spirit gives someone a regenerated life to believe. When God the Spirit changes someone, when God the Spirit opens the blind eyes. And Sunday, Keith has promised me we're going to work into our song service the song "Open These Blind Eyes, Lord." That's a beautiful song. I thought about it, even having Kara play it tonight. But yeah, we're going to do that Sunday. Asking God to open our hearts, opened our blind eyes, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He opens our blind eyes. He opens our hearts, and then people can believe. So ultimately, what is missing from our services is the convicting, convincing, converting power of God. Okay? So, I was wanting to fast because seeing God do the converting work of the Holy Spirit is more important to me than eating food for a while. Okay? So I was wanting to fast, but I'm a diabetic. And so, all right, you know, I'm wanting to fast. I'm on medicine. And so I better take my blood sugar, which I hadn't done in several weeks. And because, you know, my blood sugar was always running like 150, 150. It's always running that day after day. When I checked it, it was always running the same thing. And so I hadn't checked it in several weeks. And so I'm wanting to fast. I said, okay, I'm going to keep an eye on it while I'm fasting. And so because I wanted to keep an eye on it, I checked it before I started fasting. And I'd eat normal that day, which means, you know, I ate normal. I ain't going to tell you what normal is, but it's better than it used to be. And my blood sugar has been running like 150. Well, I checked it that day, and my blood sugar was 377 in the morning after not eating all night. I said, wow, what has happened? So I thought, well, that strip's no good. So I threw that strip away, and I got another strip, and I checked again. I see some of you are diabetics because y'all have done that too, right? You didn't like what you got, so you checked it again. And lo and behold, it did check differently, like 358 that time. But you know, that's not like real good. And if it's like that a lot, you know, you're hurting your body. Okay, so I said, okay. It's plenty high to fast. So the next day, I didn't eat anything all day long. I didn't eat anything for breakfast, didn't eat anything for lunch, didn't eat anything for supper. And didn't get up in the middle of the night unless I'm one of those sleepwalkers, you know, and I don't think so. So anyhow, the next morning, I get up and check my blood sugar, and it's 358. Fasted all day. Didn't eat all night. Took my medicine, and my blood sugar's still 350-something. So the next day, I said, well, maybe fasting caused my liver to dump this stuff, you know, and it can and it will. So I said, I'm going to eat again. And I eat normal. Okay, not more than used to, not more things I shouldn't than normal. And I take my medicine morning and night. Next morning, get up, my blood sugar, 350-something. And I said, this diabetes is for the birds. This is ridiculous. I can't eat normal on my medicine. I can't fast with my medicine. It's just always high again. And my medicine had been working for like 2 years. And all of a sudden, boom, it's not working. So I call the pharmacy. Is any possibility that the glipizide tablet y'all give me is bad? She said, I'm not going to say it's not possible. It's not likely. She told me why it wasn't likely. and said, there's no report of anything. And she said, if we find out that anything's not bad, then we always get in touch with the customers and tell them. So it's anyhow. Either, you know, God's got to do something, God's got to show me something, or I got to go back to the doctor and pay them for another test and them to try more medicine and whatever. And I'm going to if in the next 2 or 3 days it's not running better like it should. But anyhow, my warning to fast was spiritual. But I'm going to try to keep an eye on it from a physical standpoint, you see. And biblically, I want God's reward for fasting. Now, if I'm fasting because I want God to become richer and more meaningful to me, I just want to have a greater experience with God on a regular basis, and I want our church to have an experience with God, and I want to see God do something miraculous, marvelous in converting people in our midst, and I want that, then I want to fast, okay? And I want to fast even if I take some risks. Because more than anything else, I want to see God. I want to experience God more than I am. And so, but Esther, her fast was public, right? So there's nothing wrong with me trying to encourage you. Before Sunday, I wish as many as possible of our church family would set aside a meal. And if you set aside a meal, like you're going to say, I'm going to skip dinner. Yeah, then if you skip 12 o'clock dinner, don't eat at 12:30. Okay? You know, if you skip 12 o'clock, if you say, God, I'm going to skip this meal, that's a legitimate fast. It may be what you can do because maybe your body or your health doesn't need you to do more. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to fast, don't fast all night long when you're sleeping. If you're going to skip breakfast, which you normally eat, then skip breakfast and don't eat till noontime. Okay? But what I would like to do, whether or not you fast one meal or if you fast one day or if you fast between now and Sunday, whatever you do between you and God, just fast if you have peace from God about it for the purpose. See, Esther had a purpose, right? Fast for this purpose. That we might see God, that we might see God's power for saving people. Amen. Sunday's sermon is going to be as evangelistic as any sermon I've preached in the Gospel of John. It may be more evangelistic. When Nicodemus said to the Lord, I just can't understand this stuff you're talking about. God said, Nicodemus, you mean tell me you're a ruler of the Jews, you're a teacher of the Jews, and you don't know what we're talking about? And then Jesus said to him, if I've told you earthly things and you can't figure that out, I can't even tell you heavenly things. In other words, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, there's not anything else I can tell you to help you. But do you know what Jesus did? Then Jesus told him about what he did, what he was going to do on the cross. Okay? Jesus told him what. In other words, Jesus didn't give up on Nicodemus, right? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you can't even understand these physical things. How are you going to understand spiritual things? But instead of Jesus giving up on Nicodemus, Jesus told him about him and what he was going to do on the cross. For people that have been bitten by sin, he was going to provide a way of salvation. and then told him how to be saved. And so instead of giving up, Jesus just told him, went about it a different approach. And Sunday, I'm going to have 3 points, maybe four, but I'm going to have 3 points to the sermon. And that is the problem of sinners. Okay? They're bitten. They're dying. The provision of the Savior. He hung up on the cross. And the plan of salvation. Now, I tell you that because if you know lost people, you ought to pray for them and pray for them and pray for them and ask them to come to church with you Sunday. If you know people that need to be saved, you ought to do everything in your power to get them here Sunday. Why? Because I'm going to preach the gospel as clear as it can be preached. And you've got some people in our church that are going to be fasting, asking God to be here in power. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know between now and then I'm going to be asking God to be here in power. And I've got some friends here that are going to be asking God to come in power. So what does fasting have to do with it? If you're fasting and you don't have a purpose, you know what that's called? Going hungry. Okay? If you're fasting and you don't have a spiritual purpose, that's called going hungry. That's all it is. I think it's David Mathis, and it may have been John Piper, but I think it was David Mathis that gave this definition of fasting. Fasting is a temporary renunciation of something that is in and of itself good, like food, renouncing something that is good, like food, in order to intensify your expression of need for something greater, namely God and His work in our life. So if you're going to fast, what it is, you're temporarily saying, I am not going to do something I really want to do. Because I want to express to God, seeing Him in His power is more important to me than doing something I really, really, really want to do. And honest with you, I don't know of anything I like to do more than eat. I mean, you know, Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 talks about our belly is our appetite. You know, our belly is our God. Sometimes we try to satisfy our belly more than we want to satisfy God. And I can be guilty of that because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I will go to lengths to get to Hoots to eat some barbecue ribs that I won't do a whole lot of other things because that's what I want to do. And Karen and Kenny's already got together and talking about going out and eating Thursday. And they're talking about going out and eating over at Hoots. So if I'm going to fast between now and then, I'm going to either have to say, well, y'all go ahead and eat, or I'm going to fast every day except the day we go to Hoots, or every day except that time. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you between now and Sunday, I want to express to God. I just want to express to God, seeing God in His glory of saving sinners is more important to me than eating food. And so I want us to, Psalm 63 verse, well, we may look at, go to Psalm 63 and then I'll decide. Psalm 63, let's begin reading in verse 1. O God, You are my God, I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You, my flesh yearns for You. That sounds like hoots. I mean, just wanting to go, wanting to eat. In a dry and weary land where there's no water, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now, do you see what the psalmist is writing? He's saying, you know, David is saying, God, I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. God, I want to see you. And what he was saying is, God, I want to see you like I don't see you every day. I think I see God every day, right? I believe I see God every day. I see God do things every day. But David was saying to God, God, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. And God, I want to see you like I don't see you every day. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And then verse 5. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. David said, you know, when I see you, God, that satisfies my soul. God, that is so pleasurable to me. God, when I see you, that really, really is awesome. English Standard Version says, my soul is satisfied as with fatness and rich food. That's what English Standard Version says. As with fatness and rich food. As with marrow and fatness. They translate marrow as rich food. Because a lot of people don't understand when you say marrow. But I understand. The psalmist is saying to God, God, when you're with me, God, when I'm feasting on you, God, when I'm experiencing you, it is better than a bone-in ribeye steak. That's what he's saying. God, when I'm experiencing you, that is better than a bone-in ribeye steak. Rich, rich, delicious, rich, delicious. And be honest, folks, don't you be honest. But a lot of times we go all day long without ever even experiencing God to the point we say, that was rich and delicious. Fasting is a way for you and I to just express to God that if God would come in power this Sunday or the next or soon, fasting is a way to say to God, God, if you were to come like that, it would be better to me than a bone-in ribeye. And we're expressing to God. We're expressing. That's what fasting is. It is just expressing to God. It's not trying to talk God into doing something God doesn't want to do. Showing God how much willpower you have. Listen to me. A lot of people try to show God how much willpower they have. Fasting is not for the strong. It's for the poor in spirit. Fasting is for people that say, God, I'm unworthy. God, I'm not deserving of anything. But God, I am desperate for you. It's a testimony to God of our desperation for God. It's just saying, God, I'm just telling you, I am telling you, I am willing for my stomach to hurt. I'm willing to suffer with this headache because, God, I want to express to you, I want you. And, you know, That's what fasting is. It's just expressing to God. You remember the church at Acts, or the church at Antioch? The church at Antioch is one that sent Paul and Barnabas out on the mission, their first missionary journey, right? It was when the church at Antioch, as the whole church, was together praying and fasting. That doesn't mean everybody in the church was fasting. It doesn't mean that everybody in the church was fasting at the same thing. It doesn't mean that everybody in the church was fasting the same length of time or fasting over food. It says the church at Antioch was fasting and praying. And you know what God did? God began the missionary movement with Paul and Barnabas that carried the gospel to Europe. Because they were expressing to God, God, we're desperate. What we've seen is not all that we want to see. And so they just expressed to God. When our soul is as satisfied with God as we're satisfied when we sit down to a meal and pig out, We're saying to God, God, I would rather have you than all the world has to offer. Amen. And I'm just asking as many as would feel led to find a day or a part of a day or whatever you want to set aside to express to God between now and Sunday. And then after that, whenever you want to express to God, you know, we've got other things around here to be praying about. We're going to have to make a decision about what kind of a facility we're going to add onto the back of this facility. That might be worth missing some food to say to God, God, we want your guidance. That's what the Antioch church was. They were just wanting God's guidance. God, what do we do next? And so to miss a meal or to miss something special to you or to miss a day of food or whatever that God would give you grace to do so that you can express to God, God, we want you to give us guidance. And so I bring these verses up because I love you, I trust you. I think that along with God moving in my heart, if God would move in your heart, for us to express to God how dependent we are upon Him. God, we've been doing this, and we've been doing this, and we've been doing this. And okay, God, we're like all the other churches. We're doing like they're doing. But God, we're desperate. I am willing to hurt. I'm willing for my stomach to growl and be uncomfortable. I'm willing to feel a little yucky. To express to you, God, we want you more than I want dinner tonight. And again, it's private. If you don't do it, that's okay. If you do it, that's okay. If someone finds out you're doing it, that's okay. If nobody knows you're doing it, that's okay. Just so we do it, not from our strong will, God, here I am, look what I can do. That's terrible. It's not God, look what I can do. God, give me grace. Give me grace to express to you that you're more important, that seeing people saved is more important than me being satisfied. I'd rather be satisfied with you. And whoever takes some time or a part of a day or whatever, whoever does that, thank you. And for those of you that can't, just pray. Amen? Just pray. But let's ask God Let's ask God. And then, you know, people tell me they're worried about so-and-so and they're worried about so-and-so. And try to get them here. Try to get them here. You want people to hear the gospel that won't come here? Help them learn how to get to our website at our church and find sermons. Everybody here that uses a computer ought to figure out, if you have to come and ask Kara, figure out how to get to our church website. Ask Keith, figure out how to get to our church website. Go in there and click on menu and go down to look at sermons. And all the sermons in John chapter 3 ought to be pointing people to Jesus. Get people to look at the gospel. When Nicodemus showed no signs at all of being able to understand anything, Jesus told him about what he came to do on the cross. And Nicodemus was soon converted. Amen. The gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, God, your gospel is so rich and it in itself is the power of God unto salvation. But God, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, no one's converted. God, I pray that you'll make each of us more desperate for you. And however we express that, maybe some through fasting. But God, however we express that, God, may we be desperate for you and desperate to see your glory in saving sinners. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And all God's children said, amen.